there's no doubt that we dislike suffering and that we find it a kind of evil when we suffer or when we experience sickness or poverty or bad weather or any limitations. But there's also no doubt that when we do experience these things, we are humbled by them, or we can be humbled by them. Just to bring up the example from Sunday, that Canaanite woman, she was reduced to a very lowly condition before the Lord. So lowly that she wasn't even insulted when the Lord referred to her as a dog. She already knew she was desperate, so she couldn't be brought any lower. And that was exactly what made it possible for her to be receptive to the grace of God. She was open to the way of faith. And that's why Jesus said to her, "You have great faith." So she was low. She was reduced to helplessness. She couldn't help her daughter. She couldn't do anything. She was like a beggar. And that made it possible for her to rely, to depend on God. Her poverty made her rich, you could say. Or, to use the last line of today's gospel, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Well, she was the last, and it made it possible for her to be first, to be raised up. Well, today's readings invite us to reflect a little bit on this contrast between being rich and being poor, being first and last. The first reading describes the mentality of a very powerful and rich man, the Prince of Tyre. He's so full of himself and his richness and his power that he thinks of himself as a god. And then in the gospel, we have Jesus giving his surprising instruction on how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Basically impossible. Now he's warning us against, not against possessions specifically, but against a mentality that comes with being rich, or tends to come with being rich, just like we see in the first reading. So to reflect on this a little bit, I thought it might be worthwhile to try to ponder what the inner life of very rich people is like. There's rich people here in Italia 500. They have big houses and they have fancy cars and they have drivers driving their children to exclusive schools. Yeah, they're rich. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the super rich, the billionaires. Because people here, and everyone probably that we know, even if they're rich, they still have to work. And they still have responsibilities. And when they travel, they still fly on commercial airlines. Maybe they go first class, but they're not that different from the middle class people. But the super rich people, the billionaires, the multi-billionaires, the case this year of Elon Musk, for a short while, he was a trillionaire. Kind of mythical threshold, he crossed over and became a trillionaire. I don't think he is anymore because his stock goes up and down. But anyway, I'm talking about that kind of person who doesn't fly on a commercial airline, has his own jet, maybe a number of jets. A person who has so much money that he could do pretty much anything. He doesn't have to work, for sure. He doesn't have to worry about anyone in his family working. So that kind of person. Now, the reason I mention that is because if we take that extreme case, we can see what that kind of wealth could do to someone's inner life. I don't know, but I'm just kind of speculating. I remember last week, I passed by the Las Piñas District Hospital. And every time I pass by that hospital, there's a line of people outside the building. They're not even in the waiting room. They're outside the building, sitting on the ground, sometimes out in the heat or rain. Go out, what's he like? And I always think, well, there's got to be a better way. But if I were a multi-billionaire, I could build a hospital. I could build 10 hospitals and staff them all. that has to enter the mind of somebody with that amount of money. Like, I could do something about this. A person with multiple billions of dollars could feed all the hungry people in the whole country. We're talking about extraordinary capability and therefore extraordinary responsibility. But what would happen if you had that kind of money, I assume, is you would start to think of all the things you can do and might do, and the focus becomes my possibility, my power. I can build a hospital for my hometown and staff it with the best doctors and nurses and equipment. And I can do that in the hometown of my relatives too. And I can buy essential medicines for everybody in Sudan or someplace. I mean, you could do all these things. And the more that kind of mentality sinks in, the less we need God. I can do extraordinary things for everybody. I can be the benefactor for whole countries. In fact, I could buy a country. I don't need to buy luxury cars. I could buy the whole factory. I could buy the whole industry. That kind of power. Now, what happens, this is extreme, but what creeps in here is extraordinary arrogance. This is how the man in the first reading is described, this prince of Tyre. Thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. Haughty of heart is the problem. Haughty meaning arrogant, self-centered, proud, excessively proud, haughty. You're above everybody else. Because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea. Now, does that Prince of Tyre think that he's the eternal, all-powerful God? No. But he thinks like a God. He thinks he has power over everybody and everything. And that's a terrible spiritual condition to slip into. It says a little bit later in the reading, yes, you're wiser than Daniel. Wiser than Daniel, it says here. You have more money, you've heaped up riches. By your wisdom, you've been successful in trading, etc., etc. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. See, the wealth isn't the problem. It's the haughty heart that's the problem. And the danger of having that kind of capability is that we don't need God. See what I said at the beginning. We don't like suffering. We don't like being impoverished. We don't like being sick. We don't like being limited or having any kind of contradiction. But when we do experience those things, we realize how much we need God, or we can realize that we're not independent of God. It can be beneficially humbling to get sick or to be reduced to limitation, that we benefit from it. And if we don't experience limitations, or we get into the mentality that we can change everything we want to, then we don't need God, and that's the danger. So Jesus in this gospel says, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not hard for God. God can bring anyone into the kingdom. But if someone doesn't want to rely on God and doesn't want the kingdom of God because he's so full of his own kingdom, then it's very hard. In fact, it's impossible. The disciples are shocked by this kind of language, because in their mentality, those who are blessed are those who have more. And if you are the richest, then you're the most blessed. So if a rich man, in the mentality of the disciples, if a rich man can't enter into the kingdom, well, then no one can. Who can be saved? That's what he says, that Peter says, or the apostles say. Who can be saved? And Jesus says, you're right. For men, this is impossible. Face it, it's impossible. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't get into heaven. See what the prophet says, what the Lord says through the prophet to the prince of Tyre in the first reading. Okay, you have a lot of money, you have a lot of power, you've accomplished great things, sure. You're still going to die. In fact, you're going to die in a humiliating way. Foreigners are going to run you through. All your precious garments are not going to stop the sword. Is it a punishment? Or is it a necessary humiliation of being brought back to reality? And this kind of being brought to reality is so necessary. You know, these very, very wealthy people in their private jets. Sometimes private jets crash. You've heard of these stories, you know, these famous movie stars entertainers who have their private jets, they crash, they'll die. Well, that happens. You could build a fancy mansion or a hospital, and an earthquake can, or a tsunami can knock it out in 1 minute. Who do you think you are? God? Well, that's it. For man, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. This is where our real wealth is. For God, all things are possible. So to rely on God is to be at the threshold of the possible. Nothing's impossible for God. The person of faith, the one who relies on God, can do more than the richest person in the world, because he's not doing it with his own money and power. He's relying on God. And for God, all things are possible. That's why the woman in Sunday's gospel was so beautiful. Her great faith. She didn't have any money or any power or any status, but she had great faith. What happens when people have great faith? Peter asks the question, well, we've given up everything and followed you. We don't have anything left. We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? I love it when Peter asks questions like this. This is the way we think, right? What are we going to get out of this? And Jesus is willing to answer the question. Instead of saying, okay, Peter, stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about how much you're going to get out of it. No, he answers the question. He says, look, if you follow me, if you give up for me, you're going to gain more. Much more. In fact, more than you can imagine. You apostles, you follow me, in the new age, you're going to reign in glory with the King of glory. You're going to sit on a glorious throne yourself. Whatever you have given up, you will receive more, much more. If you make yourself the last, the Lord will make you the first. That's the principle. The problem with wealth, any kind of wealth, whether it's money, possessions, capabilities, no influence, power, status, popularity, or whatever. The problem with any kind of wealth is that it prevents us from recognizing that we are the last, that we are in need. It clouds our better judgment, makes us think more of ourselves than we should. Cut off from the reality that we are absolutely dependent on God. We are, simply by being creatures, we're poor. We're born poor, and that's good, because then we rely on God. So these readings, and I hope this little meditation, encourage us to take on poverty of spirit, to recognize our true place before God and what we can really rely on, so that we don't live in the illusion of our own possibility, but we live with confidence in God's possibility. The life of faith is so much greater than the life of riches, that there's no comparison. Anyone who's given up houses, brothers, sisters, father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life.